get your songbooks back out and open to the song we just sang, 788. I want to talk about this song tonight. Beautiful song that I can remember this song as far back as I can remember anything, because it was a popular song when I was a very small child, and it continues to tell some marvelous words for us to understand about the Lord and His blessings toward us and His word. So, you know, this song was written by Philip P. Bliss. Now, he was a very prolific songwriter. He had written hundreds of hymns, many of which we have in our book here tonight. He was born in 1838 in Pennsylvania, and he died in a train accident in 1876, a young man at the age of 38. He wrote both words and lyrics, or words and music, to all of his songs. And as I say, we have several of his songs in our book, Almost Persuaded, Hallelujah, What a Savior, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning, I Gave My Life for Thee, and It Is Well with My Soul. We remember all of those songs, sing them quite frequently in our worship services here. The song that we just sang, Wonderful Words of Life, was written and published in 1874, just 2 years before his death. And it was actually published in a newspaper in New York City shortly before he passed, and it became very popular in the religious realm. You know, it only has three verses. It's a relatively short song, but it has so many things for us to learn about God and about His Word and about His love for us and the words that He gave to us and how great they really are. So I want to go through this song and talk about some of the things that it has to tell us this evening. Throughout the chorus and throughout all of the verses, of course, the song is reminding us that the words of God is truly wonderful. And when I say wonderful, I mean it is wonderful for us. They are words that came from God Himself. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Or some verses says it is God-breathed. And we hold it in our hands every time that we read from the Bible. That is the words of God that we have. And they are indeed wonderful words. And we need to be reminded quite often that God's Word is to be held in reverence. It is to literally be held in awe of the greatness that it has for us. You know, David tells us in Psalm 119 and verse 129, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. It was that great to David. David understood just how wonderful God's words were, and he kept them within him. Paul said in Romans chapter 11, verse 33, now he wasn't using the phrase wonderful words here, but this is what he said. Oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. So even Paul is acknowledging here the things that God has given to us. And when Paul was writing this, the New Testament was just now beginning to be built through word, through the letters of the apostles, and it was coming into place. And how important it is that we have these writings that come from the apostles. You know, this song reminds us of how wonderful His words are, especially when you think about what they can accomplish. God's Word accomplishes much has always in the lives of men and in the lives of us today. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it talks about His words are His power. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God is powerful. It is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, which I just quoted for you, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for several things, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness. God's Word gives us all these things, and they are wonderful words because they can indeed give us these things. They're beautiful words for us to have. And again, not only are they beautiful, but they are words of life. It is the life that are in these words that gives us life. And not only life here, but life in and everlasting. It is through His Word that we learn what we must do in order to receive life. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 39 and 40, "For in them," talking about the Word, "in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." In other words, we have to come to the Word. We have to understand what it is and how important it is and give our lives to it. And then in John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." Paul describes the words of God in Philippians 2:16 that we should need to hold fast these words of life because of what they can do for you. So we need to keep this in mind. Every time we sing this song, we need to have a better understanding of just how great the words of God are. And the whole song declares that to us. Verse 1 tells us that God's wonderful words are wonderful to me and you as individuals. We have a wonderful gift because we have the Word of God. You know, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 and 46, Jesus gives us a parable of a merchant who finds the pearl of great price. And he sells everything that he had so that he could go and purchase this great pearl, this very valuable thing. And you know, this is what we need to do with God's Word. We need to give all that we can in order to have this valuable pearl, God's Word, because it gives us so much in life. You know, Solomon said, Proverbs 23 and verse 23, "Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding," which we get all of these things from God's Word. And Solomon said it is so important that we have it. And we need to keep it and we need to never let it go. Verse 1 also tells us to sing them over again to me. The words of God need to be repeated over and over and over. We need to continually be studying from the Word of God. You know, we can't read it once or twice and understand it. This is true when we're studying anything. The power of repetition is wonderful. You know, when Pat and I were dating, she worshipped at a congregation in Florence, Alabama, the Florence Boulevard Church of Christ. And she was a teacher there as a teenager. I guess she started as a teenager. I would go over there with her to church and help her get her class ready for the upcoming Sunday lesson. And I got a chance to take a look at their format. And they had a format of repetition. And what they would do, they would take whatever lesson it was that they were going to teach. And they would teach that lesson for a month. The kids got the same thing every week for a month. And by the time that month was over, those kids knew that information. And I was so impressed with that, because they were using the process of repetition to drill into their minds the lesson that they were teaching at that time. It's just like when you go to school, the first time that you learn 2 plus 2 equals 4, you probably didn't remember that. The teacher had to tell it to you again. And that was true with every subject that you took. When you had math and science and English and history in the first grade, well, you had it again in the second grade and third and fourth and all the way through high school. You kept repeating it over and over again. Why is that? So that by the time you finished, you knew it. Repetition is a great thing. And I found that to be true with the process that they used at Florence Boulevard. And I mimicked that at the first church Pat and I worked at when we married in Rogersville, Alabama. And I put that into process, and those kids, it retained with them. They learned everything in such a great way. You sing it over and over again. We sing the same songs over and over again, which is, you know, you might say, "Well, I get so tired of singing the same songs over and over." I don't. There was a point in time in my life when I was leading singing full time at the church I grew up with. I didn't need the book. I knew I could match the numbers with the song. I knew every verse. I knew every word. I did not need the book to lead those songs. I could not do that now because I don't lead singing very much anymore. That knowledge has escaped me and has gone from me. But if you do it over and over and over, you will retain what God has given to you. So never be afraid to pick up that book and read that same verse over and over again until you understand it and know what it means and know that it means something to you. It is so important that we do that. You know, Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, he says, For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Peter saw the importance of repetition, of learning it, of keeping it abreast, keeping it ever in your mind and doing it over. And he even said it again in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, now I write you in the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds in a way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words that have been spoken to you. It is so important that we learn it and we go over it and over it until we have it right. Sing them over again to me. And then verse 1 also says, let me more of their beauty see. Let me ask you a question. Do you see beauty when you see and read the Word of God? Do you see the love that is being poured out of those words that are coming to you? Do you see how wonderful it is and how beautiful it is to have in your hands the very words that were spoken to you by God Himself? You know, we as mature Christians are told to rightly divide that word of truth, that we can in a better way see the beauty that is there. We see His love abounding more and more. The knowledge, the wisdom that comes from God, if we put it within ourselves, it is helping us to gain more and more and become closer to God, closer to His family, and closer as Christians. Next, it says, the words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. These words, these beautiful words, these wonderful words are giving to you the very things that you need. That's why Paul said in Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not only will it move us to learn of His will, it will move us to obey His will, which, by the way, is something that we are expected to do. That's why we are told to study to show ourselves approved to God. If you want to be approved by God, you have to understand His Word. You have to put it into your life and not only know it, but use it within your life. Now, verse 2. They are wonderful words that Christ, the Blessed One, gives to all. You see, Jesus came for the salvation of all men. And when I say all mankind, He reaches all the way back to Adam. And He reaches forward past our lives into the very last soul that comes upon this earth. He is offering salvation to all. We read that in what I call the golden verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Why? He loved us so much that He gave us the Son. He gave us the work. He gave us all that we need to have that salvation if we're willing to believe in Him. Then the psalm says in verse 2, sinner, listen to that loving call. Listen to that. Understand it. It's for you. So many people think that the Bible is outdated. So many people think that the Bible is no longer valid. It is no longer valuable. It is no longer important. It is as important today as it was the day that it was penned by the apostles. The Word of God is coming from God, and we need to listen to it, and we need to understand it and heed the call of God. Revelation 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. It's all for you. This Word of God is all for you. And you can have it. All you have to do is ask for it. And He wants you to have it. Now this next part is very important. Because it is all so freely given. You know, Paul tells us Titus 2, verse 11, that this grace of God, this love of God, it has appeared to all. It is for us. And the thing of it is free. And the reason it is free is because it's something that we cannot do for ourselves. We have never been able to earn our salvation. We will never be able to earn our salvation. It is indeed a free gift of God. But we must accept it. And we must live by it. And do what he has asked us to do in order to have it. And then we hear these words, wooing us to heaven. These beautiful, wonderful words of life are wooing us to heaven. You know what wooing is? It is something that we yearn. We are yearning something. We're wanting it so bad. And it is an eternal reward. Paul speaks of this wooing in Titus chapter 3. He says, we have been justified by this grace, and we have become heirs of eternal life. God is wooing us through his word to be a part of him, to be a part of his family. And the reward is wonderful. Romans 2 verse 7, eternal life is waiting for those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. That's the result of obeying this wonderful word. Now very quickly, verse 3. Sweetly echo the gospel call. Now, what is this? Well, now we're switching from what this wonderful word is and how it can affect us to we need to go to work and use this wonderful word. Don't keep it to yourselves. Don't, as the song says, don't put it under a bushel and hide it. You let it out where everybody can see it, where everybody can use it, where everybody can benefit from it. Tell others about it. We have been given the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. Echo that gospel call. Tell everybody about that gospel that God has given to you. And then it says, offer pardon and peace to all. Because that's exactly what God's word does. It gives us pardon. It removes our sin. And it gives us a peace that passes all understanding. And we all need that salvation. We all need that peace. We all need that pardon. Not because we're worthy, because we're really not. But we can have this pardon. We are to, I'm losing my voice. The next part of the song tells us to persuade them that Jesus is the only Savior. Only he has given us these wonderful words. John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, we live in times where people think there are many ways to heaven. You go your way and I'll go my way because we're all headed for the same place. Not true. We're all headed somewhere. But the only way that we're ever going to make it to heaven is when we listen to these words that Jesus has given to us. That we follow him and his way only will get us there. We know that God is our way. Peter said, Acts 4, verse 12, he was standing in front of the Jewish leaders in Acts chapter 4. Nor is there salvation in any other. There's nowhere else to get it. You're not going to find it anywhere else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is only one way. Jesus has already said, I'm it. And you're not going to find it anywhere else. You can't obtain it anywhere else. There's no one else's word that is going to give this to you. The last words of the song are these. Sanctify forever. Do you know that if you obey these wonderful words of life, that you will be sanctified forever? Your salvation will be complete. Your sins will have been forgiven. You will have been welcomed into the family of God. And what a wonderful thing that is. Listen to the Hebrew writer, Hebrews 10, verse 10. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. He did this for us. He went to the cross for us. He gave us these wonderful words to follow. Gave us the example of how to follow. And if we will do that, then we will be sanctified forever. Isn't that a wonderful thought? And all of these things come from hearing, believing, and obeying these wonderful words of life. Truth, they are wonderful words. Let me ask you in closing this lesson, just how wonderful are these words to you? When you pick up the book and you read it, do you really understand what you're reading? Do you really understand just how wonderful these words are? That they are coming from the God that created you and created all life around you. They're coming from a God that loves you far greater than you can love anything or anyone. They are coming from someone who is able to take you farther in life and into the next life and do things for you that you cannot do for yourself and you cannot do for each other. They're wonderful words of life. Be sure that you listen. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, the wonderful words of life tell you that you need faith. The wonderful words of life tell you that you need to change your life, turn your life around, repent of the sins that are in your life. The wonderful words of life tell you that you need to confess who Jesus is, this wonderful Savior who gave His life for you on the cross, God's Son. And these wonderful words of life tell you that you need to be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins so that having obeyed these wonderful words, you are now a part of God. Christian, these wonderful words of life tell you to maintain your Christianity. It also tells you that if you fall, if you fail, that you can come back to the Lord even when mistakes are made. If you will confess your faults, God will forgive. What wonderful words. They have covered every angle to keep you near Him. To keep you close to Him, to make you a part of Him. So tonight, listen to these wonderful words and what they can do to you and for you. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come.